Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
25 years ago, the creator of The Simpsons unleashed a brutally honest, unflinching look at the future. It was outlandish, mind-bending, a little heartbreaking, and all kinds of funny.
Shut up and get to the point!
Futurama is a pillar of adult animation, so it's hard to believe that the executives at 20th Century Fox never liked any of it. They demanded changes throughout its inception, then doomed it with a terrible time slot, confounding the showrunners as to why it had to turn into a shit show.
Ooh, ooh, my ass. Ooh, ooh.
In 1989, the Fox Television Network was a fledgling and floundering broadcast channel with very few claims to fame. The Simpsons changed all of that. Created by cartoonist Matt Groening, with the help of producer James L. Brooks and showrunner Sam Simon, The Simpsons' rebellious mindset, subversion of family sitcoms, self-aware meta-ness, and its all-around hysterical range of humor, from the highbrow to the slapstick, created an instant hit for Fox. The next decade belonged to Matt Groening's animated sitcom.
Oh! Ay, caramba!
Highly hope! Excellent.
Millions tuned in each week, and that rabid fan base spent billions on merchandising. Its boundary pushing, for the time, and pointed social satire offended parents, religious leaders, and U.S. presidents.
To make American families a lot more like the Waltons and a lot less like the Simpsons.
It won dozens of awards and was inarguably one of the greatest TV shows ever made during its heyday. It directly led to the 90s boom of adult animation, like Beavis and Butthead, Family Guy, and South Park, and inspired countless others, from The Office to The Daily Show. And being animated, it was also easily dubbed for overseas markets, making it a global phenomenon. Simpsons mania was everywhere. While today it's nowhere near the behemoth it once was, it's hard not to overemphasize how much influence The Simpsons has made on pop culture and really the world at large. Needless to say, Fox would do anything to get another Matt Groening show on the air, and they hassled him for years.
Not long ago, the Fox network approached the producers of The Simpsons with a simple request. 35 new shows to fill a few holes in their programming lineup.
By 1995, Groening started considering it in earnest. Fueled by his apparent fear of robots, Groening wanted to combine comedy with science fiction.
I'm going to do what I've always dreamed of. I'm going to write that sitcom about the sassy robot.
Staying in the same lane as The Simpsons, he envisioned a future that wasn't an optimistic utopia nor a dystopian nightmare, but one where everything is just as stupid and polarizing as today.
If I were registered to vote, I'd send these clowns a message by staying home on election day and dressing up like a clown.
You're not registered?
Nope, not vaccinated either.
He eventually landed on the idea of Futurama, about a well-meaning simpleton, Philip J. Fry, who gets accidentally cryogenically frozen, waking up in the year 3000, and is taken in by his extremely distant nephew, Professor Farnsworth, a 160-year-old mad scientist.
This is a chance for Fry to test out my experimental anti-pressure pill. I can't swallow that. Well then, good news. It's a suppository.
About a year into the project, he decided he needed help fleshing out all these concepts. In 1997, he recruited David X. Cohen. The X means nothing, by the way. He had to differentiate himself from another David Cohen in order to stay in the Writers Guild. Cohen went through the usual comedy writer's path by earning a physics degree at Harvard, followed by a master's in computer science at Berkeley, which naturally got him his first gig, writing for Beavis and Butthead. And that led to him joining The Simpsons in 93.
You call this writing? If I puked in a fountain pen and mailed it to the Monkey House, I'd get better scripts.
But sir, at Harvard, they
taught
us...
Oh, at Harvard, they taught you? Hit the streets, egghead!
Cohen wrote multiple episodes and segments and constructed probably the greatest sci-fi moment in the series history.
I have to go now. My planet needs me.
Wow, Poochie came from another planet? I guess.
He was also the guy responsible for throwing overly complicated math jokes in the background, inadvertently creating a dedicated fan base primed for a nerdy sci-fi cartoon.
Then they said, you know, we want to make this look sciencey, stick some equations in the background. So that's where I thought, oh, instead of just making it mumbo jumbo, I might as well make some jokes that three of my friends from graduate school will get at least, and no one else will ever care about or be talking about in a theater 20 years later.
Groening saw Cohen as the perfect match to help him develop Futurama. And Cohen knew he had to say yes because no other offer in Hollywood could be more suited for his skills and interests. Seeing as how science fiction comedies didn't really exist at the time, Groening and Cohen were mostly inspired by the low-budget productions of old sci-fi television, like Doctor Who and Lost in Space. The two spent a year detailing every aspect of Futurama, like picking which scientific concepts to parody and discussing how robots had integrated into society. While Groening already had Turanga Leela, Zap Brannigan, and Kif Croker, with Cohen, they created the more sci-fi-ish characters like the talking crustacean Dr. Zoidberg.
Look at me! I'm Dr. Zoidberg! Homeowner!
The dark matter pooping pet Nibbler, and the impulsive, selfish, hard-drinking robot, Bender.
Bender, honey, we love you!
Shut up, baby, I know it!
Bender was very deliberately meant to be Futurama's Homer Simpson, but this time he couldn't be accused of being a bad role model by pearl-clutching parents because he's a fictional robot.
Try this, kids at home!
Is television sensation Bender a bad role model for Earth's children?
That's crazy!
They also created a robot called Pocket Pal that would periodically appear to explain the future to Fry, but tossed the idea, figuring that not explaining the insanity of the year 3000 was far funnier. In the end, the two men had an enormous binder representing 2 years of work. In April of 1998, they were ready to pitch Futurama to Fox. Groening and Cohen spent 2 hours describing a myriad of characters, locations, themes, and plot lines to the eager executives. Groening finished by saying,
"What I've done to the American family with The Simpsons, we're going to do to science fiction with Futurama."
They jumped up and down and ordered 13 episodes on the spot. And then, that's when the honeymoon was over. The second they ordered it, they completely freaked out and were afraid the show was too dark and mean-spirited and thought they had made a huge mistake and that the only way they could address their anxieties was to try to make me as crazy as possible with their frustrations. When James L. Brooks brought The Simpsons to Fox, they were so desperate for content, they made a deal with Brooks and Groening that they would never creatively interfere with the series. But in the years since, the execubots at Fox had become increasingly corporate and excessive meddlers in all their other shows.
Executive Alpha, programmed to like things it has seen before.
Hey, hey, hey.
Executive Beta, programmed to roll dice to determine the fall schedule.
More reality shows?
Groening soon realized how spoiled he was on The Simpsons. He spent countless meetings with Fox, constantly telling them no because they wanted to change every aspect of the series. They questioned aliens having Italian accents, futuristic products with identifiable brands, prostitutes being coin-operated robots, and they didn't get why the plots kept happening off of Earth.
Why not? It's clever, it's unexpected.
But that's not why people watch TV! Clever things make people feel stupid, and unexpected things make them feel scared!
Fox also didn't approve of him selecting Rough Draft Studios to handle the animation, even though the company was founded by Simpsons veterans. Groening called the experience the worst of his career. He already resented the idea that Fox thought the success of The Simpsons was a product of their efforts, and wasn't afraid to arrogantly point at his yellow family as proof of what happens when creatives are left alone. Again, Groening's Simpsons built the network and made them billions. He assumed he'd get some leeway. Even his chosen cast weren't safe from the mindless tampering. Initially, Charlie Schlatter, from Diagnosis Murder, was set as Fry, and Mad TV's Nicole Sullivan landed Leela. But quickly thereafter, Fox abruptly fired both of them, with no reason given.
The part of the story I remember, which is so cringeworthy for actors, is that Charlie called Nicole and said, "My agent just called me, and they have fired me." And then Nicole goes, "Hang on one second, I'm getting a call."
Oh.
Anyone who's worth their salt has been fired at some point, like I have, and have you guys?
Yeah.
So it's such as sometimes it's not the right fit or whatever.
Or some executives feel like they need to pee on your show.
Caught off guard, Groening and Cohen had to go with their runner-ups.
Him.
Since Billy West was already cast as the professor and only auditioned for Fry, they gave him the role. As for Leela, in came Katie Sagal, who had just finished Married with Children, which, fun fact, Fox canceled publicly before telling the cast and crew. Tragically, they also lost Phil Hartman. Groening created the role of Zap Brannigan specifically for him. After his unexpected death, Billy West also took the part, modeling his performance on Hartman.
"If you so much as glance at another woman, I'll be all over Leela like a fly on a pile of very seductive manure."
Like The Simpsons, Groening mostly stepped back from day-to-day operations, becoming more of a consultant. He would attend table reads, when the actors first get to read a new script together, occasionally pop into the writer's room, and would give notes throughout the whole process. David Cohen was always intended to be the series showrunner from day one. He filled the writer's room with Simpsons alums. Nearly all of them had science or math degrees, three of whom had PhDs, which made them perfect for getting the most out of science fiction.
"Say nerd!
Nerd!"
At that time, to make a single episode of Futurama, or The Simpsons, took around 9 months. After the writing was finished and the actors had recorded their lines, US-based animators would draw roughly 1,000 keyframes for each episode. The writers would give notes, changes were made, then the animatic was sent to the South Korea studio, where they'd animate the entire thing, about 20 to 25,000 frames. But unlike The Simpsons, Futurama was colored digitally. In fact, the series used a wide range of computer techniques for the final product, from the straightforward 3D effects of the Planet Express ship to the hidden lip-sync alterations for dialogue replacement. When the pilot was finished, Fox was furious to find out it wasn't, to them, anything like The Simpsons, meaning they were literally expecting a family of five in space.
"You see, TV audiences don't want anything original. They want to see the same thing they've seen 1,000 times before."
In a last-ditch effort to placate the studio's concerns, Groening and Cohen purposely produced the third episode, iRoommate.
"The network really was freaked out by the show with the suicide booths and the lobster creatures and Bender being so antisocial. And so again, this was our show just to tone things down. This script was written specifically to their specifications." And their reaction, David?
"Worst episode ever."
So even bound by all the notes axed of them, Fox still didn't like the show. Groening finally put his foot down, saying he would no longer listen to their gripes and that they'd produce the series just as independently as The Simpsons.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Futurama debuted Sunday, March 28th, 1999. 19 million Earthicans tuned in, even beating their lead-in, The Simpsons. Reviewers were lukewarm with the new series, thinking it wasn't as sharp as The Simpsons, but its originality and inventiveness showed great promise. Groening wanted Futurama to be aired in the ratings sweet spot of 8:30 p.m. on Sunday nights, sandwiched between the powerhouses of The Simpsons at 8 and The X-Files at 9. Fox only let it air there for 2 episodes, before moving it to their lower-rated animation Tuesday nights, alongside King of the Hill, Family Guy, and the PJs.
Due to technical difficulties, we now bring you 8 animated shows in a row.
Futurama lost nearly 50% of its audience with the change. Groening called the move a historic blunder and assumed it was a reprisal from Fox because he wouldn't listen to their notes. Throughout the rest of the year, Groening did not play nice when speaking to the press. He fumed that Fox no longer fostered original series, that they operated permanently in damage control mode for their past failures, and frankly, that they clearly had no idea what they were doing. Groening was willing to take all that blame if the series tanked, but it needed to be on his terms. Overall, though, he was optimistic that the quality of the show would grow an audience regardless of its time slot. And sure enough, it did. By the end of its first season, viewership was steadily climbing. At the beginning of the second season, Fox put Futurama back in that prime Sunday 8:30 p.m. spot for only 4 episodes.
That's all? But
Now, there'll be plenty of time to discuss your objections when and if you return.
Whether they were truly punishing him for their lack of control, or perhaps furious that he kept dragging their name through the mud, Fox gave their new series, Malcolm in the Middle, the spot and moved Futurama up an hour and a half earlier. 7 p.m. on Sundays was considered a death sentence on Fox, as it often competed against the sports ball games and post-game talk shows. If the games ran over, any series caught in that time slot would simply not air that day, and the episode would be put on a shelf. Because of this, Futurama's 4 seasons of episodes aired inconsistently, becoming 5 seasons of broadcast television, and they were completely out of order. Which normally wouldn't be a problem for most sitcoms, like The Simpsons, but Futurama leaned into its continuity, especially with its Fry and Leela romance and the ever-evolving mythology of Fry's importance in the universe. When streaming Futurama, it's placed in that broadcast order, not chronological. Sunday at 7 p.m. is where Futurama remained for the rest of its run. Over time, Fox basically forgot the show even existed. When it won the Outstanding Animated Program Emmy for Roswell That Ends Well, Fox never bothered to call Groening or Cohen to congratulate them.
Hey, don't cut that. I need that to speak.
And Fox couldn't be mad at the show for offending anyone because all the controversies they feared would crop up never came to be. Though the Nixon estate did ask them to stop making fun of him.
In our darkest hour, we can stand erect with proud, upthrust bosoms.
Anyone who laughs is a communist.
All Fox saw was declining viewership, thanks to that erratic schedule. Sometimes it meant only one new episode a month, and that made building an audience nearly impossible. Gloviously, ratings slowly cratered. Lasting 72 episodes, Fox technically never canceled Futurama. They simply didn't order another season. But really, what's the difference?
Another classic science fiction show canceled before its time.
For fans, it was a bitter outcome. because the series was genuinely flourishing creatively and critically. Perhaps the first season wasn't as strong as some were expecting, but critics and meatbags alike agree the show only got better. By season 5, or the last half of season 4, depending on how you look at it, Futurama was firing on all cylinders and is widely considered, to this day, the best the show ever got. This was the result of two decisions made by David Cohen. The first was fully embracing their science fiction roots, as they were able to explore insane concepts like no other television series in history.
We noticed that the fans were responding really well to the episodes that had more sci-fi in them. And you'll see we do go for more serious sci-fi stories as it goes along. And the thing that was very surprising to me, a lot of those, I believe, ended up being our funnier episodes as well. And that's what we didn't know we could do at first, just to do a story which was a real sci-fi story, but also be a good comedy story or a good touching story.
The second was getting audiences to cry. Groening always had the idea that the show could tackle heavier topics as long as Cohen made sure the characters reacted to their crazy circumstances in relatable, sympathetic ways. During the third season, the writers tested the waters with the episode The Luck of the Fryrish, where an angry fry believes his brother Yancey stole his name, his luck, and his dreams, only to discover that Yancey had actually named his son after the younger brother he lost.
Son, I'm naming you Philip J. Fry in honor of my little brother, who I miss every day. I love you, Philip. And I always will.
The episode was so well received, it gave Cohen the confidence to push things even further, culminating in perhaps Futurama's most infamously devastating episode, Jurassic Bark, where the audience learns Fry's dog spent the rest of its life patiently waiting for Fry to return. This poignancy put Futurama in a league of its own above all other animated sitcoms of its time, even The Simpsons, and has never quite been given the credit it deserves for paving the way for other adult animation to dig a little deeper and tug at those heartstrings. Writer Ken Keeler was given the unenviable task of writing the finale. The Devil's Hands Are Idle Playthings aired on August 10th, 2003. Cohen and Groening consciously didn't want the episode to have a sense of finality, so Keeler focused on the emotional core of the series, Fry's unrequited love for Leela.
A man writing an opera about a woman? Oh, Sarah, how deliciously absurd.
And instead of having them finally come together or saying goodbye, he simply ended Futurama on a positive note.
Please don't stop playing, Fry. I want to hear how it ends.
Groening, Cohen, and the rest still had stories they wanted to tell, and always held out hope that Futurama could return. But one thing would need to change.
Yes? I see. Good news, everyone! Those asinine morons who canceled us were themselves fired for incompetence!
Thank you so much for listening. It Was a Shit Show is researched and produced by me, Ian Jench. Sound editing and mix by Ray Reynolds. Our theme music is by Ryan K. Hudson. Wardrobe provided by Clint's Closet. If you're enjoying the show, you can support us on Patreon or help spread the word by leaving a review and forcing your friends and family to listen. And if you have a shit show suggestion, find us on social media at It Was a Shit Show, but shit without the I. You can also find all these episodes on our YouTube channel.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.